So first thing that comes to my mind is when you talk about balance, in order to achieve balance, what I think is that you first need to have to be real with yourself. Number one, you know your limitations, and number two, you know your abilities. Don't overextend your abilities, and don't undertrust your limitations. Yeah, you know, because you can overextend your abilities and get caught up in things that you don't have time for.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then you can undertrust your limitations by getting things that you're not qualified for.
Hey, man, you sound like you were ready for this.
The platform.
Quick.
This is where it comes, man.
No hesitation.
Yeah, man. And, you know, so I think that's where you begin with balance, you know?
Man, that's so good.
I mean, that's roll credits there, almost. I've been able to find that concerning balance for me, in order for me, like, whenever you get to a different level, a different phase in your life, right?
Yeah.
The first thing we want to do is we want to be able to find balance, because when you first get there, it's mighty uncomfortable. You're not sure how this works. You're not sure how that works. Things aren't working the way you want to, and we just want balance or peace in the situation, man. And I've found that the reason I didn't have it was because my life was already severely improperly imbalanced. See, I would get up in the morning and I would spend 15 to 20 minutes in the Word and then shoot off with my day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'd be like the guy in the Word. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as I have been spending, and I hate to sound cliche, but this is really works. It's like Tylenol, right? If you just take the pills, your headache will go away. This really works, man. So I've been diving into my Word. I mean, I get into it on. It's like, what else do you have to do?
Yeah.
You can listen to music, or you can listen to the Word. Get up in the morning, I can listen to the Word, then I can actually get into my Word. I mean, when I spend the course of my day really spending the free time meditating on the Word of God, I find that my days are almost on autopilot, in the sense of, like, really, Jesus, take the wheel, in the sense of my perspective on life is being shifted from everything that I know I need to do, right? In the sense of, when I say that, that's more in the sense of control, right? In order for me to get this, result, I have to do this. In order for me to get this result, I have to do that. And there's so many different results during the day that I've been trying to get. But now, if my only focus on the day is, man, how do my actions best please the Lord as I'm going through my day? It takes off all the pressure of what has to be done and when it has to be done. And I just know that everything's going to be done in the Lord's time. And for me personally, it's been able to balance my own emotions, anxiety, you know, creeping depression, those fears of, like, because when you speak of balance for me, I think of emotional. I think of I think of emotional balance, because in your emotions, right, in your heart, that's where all the real decisions for your life happen. Oh yeah, in your mind, you have this plan of everything you want to do, right? But then tragedy strikes after tragedy strikes after tragedy strikes, and your heart and your feelings determine your movements and the way that you go. That's why the Proverbs tell us to guard our hearts, because it's a course direction to our life. And so my biggest focus now has been trying to focus on balancing my emotions, not in the sense of just, like, suppressing things, right? And just saying it's not a problem, but really allowing the Word of God to shift my perspective to where now that I see things, man, it's not, if it's not under my control, then it's not necessarily my responsibility. So I can leave that for the Lord, you know what I mean? And only focus on the natural in the day. Wow, my daughter's on the natural day. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know if y'all can follow me.
Yeah.
A little bit. It's like balanced timing with God, emotions, perception.
Yeah. And what I'm getting is that you've used the word of God and your relationship with Jesus to balance your life. And again, that goes back to what I was saying a minute ago, is you have to know your abilities and your weaknesses. You know, you know without the word of God starting your day and that relationship with Jesus, you're going to be weak. And so you've already guarded those weaknesses, you know?
And that's beautifully said, because in the same aspect, the way that I say the exact same thing is the fact that I know that I'm weak. That's why I submit to him, because it's in that submission, right? Where he's glorified and he's my strength, and I just do what he says. You know what I mean?
So, yeah.
So, man, he's just peeling back the layers like an onion, man. And I'm trying not to tip over. You know, as the man, we're supposed to be the emotional pillars in the household.
Yeah.
We can't fly off the handles, and whatever the wives are feeling, we're supposed to be able to absorb that and then take it to the Lord. You know, we're the disciplinarians more or less in our household.
It's okay for us to have emotions too, though.
It is, but it's
like, yeah.
But it's like, if we don't handle them correctly, what happens with them? We've seen now more in America than any other time in American history, more people are dealing with anxiety, with depression, clinical depression. These are clinical illnesses. Related to or around mental illness, but it's not really a mental illness. These are all conditions of the heart, because we have all become so
unbalanced.
Exactly. Immensely unbalanced, brother. And I think that we really need to, our main focus should be, in order for us to gain true perspective, should be spending time in the Word of God, man. I'm starting to understand that this is not like, man, I used to read the Bible, right? I used to read the Bible, and it was a collection of stories, or, you know, it was a prophecy that I was reading. But now I'm beginning to see it, man, as it's really just, it's one long story about God and his relationship with all sorts of different men. And none of those men are good. So none of us should act like we're good. But when we read it from this perspective, man, it helps us to look at life through the proper perspective and allow us to let go of those things that society tells us that we need to have on top of us. You know what I mean? Those different, those different fake me out standards that if you don't hit this and if you don't hit that, then maybe you're not this status or maybe you're not as far as you need to be, or it's not as far as you want to be, man, none of that matters. The only thing that matters in life, man, is our own relationship and accountability to God, to our wives, and to our, well, basically to the church, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's where we find real balance, man.
That's
amen.
Good. You got to throw football in there somewhere.
No, that's good. That's head on. I mean, like you said, we could roll tape right there. I mean, I guess if we're talking about balance, you know, spiritual balance and imbalance, you know, I feel like you guys kind of hit it dead on. You know, some other ones I had was balance in our marriage.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
What do you have to say about that, Donnell?
What do I have to say about that?
Yeah, man, yeah. I mean, you've got a lot going on, brother. If anybody's going to talk about that, man, I think you could share a couple of words of wisdom, man, on how you're holding it together right now.
I mean, I think for me, you know, the hardest thing is I have a hard time balancing hustle. And, you know, for me, it's that I'm very competitive in nature, where I can't help the fact that I feel like somebody's out hustling me at any given moment. So it's like, when I go to sleep, I feel like I'm losing. And so, you know, when I was listening to, you know, somebody that, you know, I've been putting Bucky on him, and
that's what's up.
And you know, pretty much is like, yeah, you know, we know scientifically that sleep is important. You know, it's been proven, you know, and it's okay. And everybody has a certain balance that they need specifically, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours of sleep, you know, and that's fine. You know, because what hustle really means to me is, what am I doing the hours that I'm actually awake?
Yeah.
You know, what am I doing with my time? And because I always feel like I'm misusing my time, you know, it's like, okay, I'm up at 7. Okay, but I'm literally just idle for an hour and a half. You know, man, I could have took that hour and a half and I could have been somewhere. I could have been doing something more effectively. So, you know, for me, it's really just about maximizing, you know, my output and the energy, and also setting realistic expectations.
Yeah.
Kind of based on my previous work, my work ethic in general.
That's good.
So, you know, for like an example, like for me, I guess, you know, throughout my day, I really just like, let's use like an orange, you know, literally it's like, I try to like literally take the day and squeeze like, you know, every little bit of orange juice out of it, you know, to where I'm actually maximizing, you know, what I'm actually getting in return.
Yeah. But, and then in the flow of life, you know, I think we're hitting on two subjects there. The side of let me jump off in this if I can in regards to the marriage side. And I don't want to take you off track.
No, you're not. But
I don't think we can go off track.
But on the marriage side, you know, balance for me would be more or less open communication.
Ooh.
And like Emmanuel said, you know, men in general, we've got to make sure that we keep our emotions in check, because in the marriage, the woman is the one that is motivated by emotions, and men are motivated by touch and feel. But the best way to balance that would be open communication, and that's where men have fallen short for so long. It's been a grunt and short words, and there hasn't been open communication. And the biggest part of that communication is listening to your wife more than talking about your emotions and your successes and failures, your day, etc. But listening more to her emotions, not necessarily, and this for me is hard for me because I'm a results-driven person.
Exactly.
And if my wife has experienced something, it bothers me that she's off balance in something, and I want to fix it, where the fixation of it is not made for me to put my hands to it. It's made for me to put my ear to it.
Wow.
And once I put my ear to it, then that can actually, because all your wife really wants to do is get it off her chest, and she wants you to ride the same emotional roller coaster that she's been on through the situation. And she doesn't really want you to fix it. Her fix is just that you hear her side of it, for the most part. And so I think balance in that is learning, okay, when is it a time to listen, and when is it a time to put action to what I'm hearing? You know, and for the most part, once you really listen to your wife and you learn your wife, through her communication to you, she will tell you when you need to listen,
right,
and when you need to put hands to the plow. You know, I want to jump off as well. Well, let me stop there. What do you guys have something to add about that on the marriage side?
No, I mean, I think you hit it on the head, man. I'm learning that right now. Everything that you're saying, man. When my wife starts talking, the first thing that as she's talking, I'm giving her what I believe are the answers.
Yeah.
And that just creates more of a problem. And I'm learning how to just, or what I used to do was I would listen and then go and try to solve the problem.
Yeah.
And now I've created a whole new problem. Because that's not what she wanted me to do. True. Yeah. And then, I'm also learning at the same time. Sometimes when she's explaining her perspective, I don't know how candid these talks can be, but let's just talk. Sometimes when she's explaining her perspective, it's the perspective itself that I'm like, let's try to shift the perspective, right? And that way we'll shift the problem. It's really, the balance is learning how to listen and when to speak, just like Buck is saying, because at any moment, seeing as to how they're in the whatever emotions that they're feeling, at any moment, anything said could be taken correctly or and now you've got a problem on your hands. So it's really mandatory that that we get that down, man. So yeah, that was a good word right there, right behind you.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, kind of reiterate what I was saying about the balancing part was I was viewing balance in my everyday life.
Yeah.
So for me, there's 24 hours in a day, and part of my hustle flows into my marriage. So, you know, it's I come home from work, and I might be home, but my mind is not home.
My
mind is somewhere completely different. So right. whether I'm there, I'm really not there. So what I was saying is, so for me, it's all about trying to really balance my personal being to where, you know, that's what I was saying. You know, before I'd be home, I'm home, but I'm on my phone. I'm not really there, and I'm not being intentional with my wife or my or my kids. So it's, you know, I'm trying to like, okay, let me squeeze everything I have out of my work day so that way when I come home I can literally be there in the moment. And then when you know, when it's time to spend certain individual times, it's like I want to be balanced in that I'm so organized that I already know where all my time's delegated.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, to touch on the marriage thing is that I wish my wife was like your all's wives. My wife is not like that at all.
Wait a minute. Be careful. It's recorded, folks.
That's all right. What I'm saying by that is my wife is not. Well, my wife does not want to talk about it. My wife does not want to share her emotions about it.
Oh, gotcha.
I am the over-communicator. I want to fix, solve. I want her to open up, share her feelings, and she doesn't do those things. So I would say that not every, you know, for me, balancing a marriage really is like a job. If I view a marriage as work, then I don't love it.
Yeah.
You know, if I view my marriage as something I love and cherish, then it's not work to me. You know, and I was actually, ironically, listening to a guy this morning, and what he was saying is, man, he talked about so many different topics, but you know, pretty much what he was saying is that, you know, when you're that you live in the house. Okay. So, you know, I have an expectation of my wife, and that's exactly what that is. An expectation doesn't mean it's going to happen. You know, it's like, oh, I want to come home. I want there to be food on the table, and I want to do all that. You know, I want the house to be clean, yada, yada, yada. Right. And the gentleman was saying, he's like, okay, why is it your wife's response? He's like, his context was, okay, well, if you're going to eat, you should also cook. If, you know, you're going to have to do the dishes because you ate, you should also do those dishes. You have to wear clothes, so you should also have to clean those clothes. And he broke it down in a way as in that you're not viewing your wife as a wife. You're actually viewing her as a servant. And he just went down into super, super depth context. And it's like, man, I am going to cook. Why is it my wife's responsibility to do that? I do need to, I don't know. There's some, it can get twisted in a lot of different ways, but in the reality of it was, you know, if we want to go back to biblically, just real quick, you know, if I'm called to love my wife as God loved the church, you know, I feel like there's such a huge value on that, that I have to be very careful in what my expectations are of my wife and what she has to fulfill. And not to say that I don't appreciate her doing those things, because I really do. But in the same context, I feel like sometimes I'm very outspoken, and I feel like it is her duty to do those things.
Ah, gotcha.
And more so, it's really not her job to do those things. It's
I'm going to jump in here real quick, because I do have a particular mindset concerning this, and I just want to set this up real quick. I believe that if we're going to talk about the way things are supposed to be, not the way things are, but the way things are supposed to be, man, the way the Lord set up in the institution of marriage and the way that it's supposed to work and the way that a family works, the way that particular fellowship works is that it works like a team, right? And on each team, you have a role. So let's pretend we're playing basketball, right? You have a coach, you have a point guard, you have a small forward, you have your center. Very few times are you going to see the point guard playing down where the center should be, right? Mm-hmm. Just not what they do. They were not created to play switched roles, right? In order for the team to function, each person has to, what? Recognize their role. Two, yearn to be the best in their role, right? And number three, push forward in their role and encourage the other person in their role, right? Now, whatever the role is in that house, we know that it's set up. It's set up the way that it's set up kind of, okay, so the man is like Christ, right? And then the wife is like, it's like the church, it's the body, right? Okay, mm-hmm. Just like you were saying before. So if let's say if you have two people working in the home, right? And both people are out and they're both out and about, right? Then they both come home, then splitting up everything, it makes sense, right? But if one is at home, either or, then I would say that, hey, that's work in and of itself, right? And the same way one person may be expected to go out and bring finances in, the other person would be expected to, like, hey, you know, certain things are on. And it's just like, it's not something that I say would say that should be something that causes a problem, but it would be something that when everybody can respectfully understand and push forward in their roles without there being offense, you know what I mean? Then I think that things would just move so much smoother. But now there's so much fear of saying the way that it was versus the way that it is versus the way that it should be. That,
well, I think in that regards as well, there should be a mutual respect.
Absolutely.
You know, as far as like with in our situation here, my wife is a stay-at-home mom. I'm at work, and there's a mutual respect there. Is I don't disregard what she does as something, or let me say this, I don't regard as what she does as something less than what I do.
It's not.
I'm making the money, and I'm bringing home the money, I'm paying the bills, but she's keeping the house.
That's right.
And she does the dishes, she cooks, and that's where the balance comes in, is because balance is going to be absolutely different for every household. It's not going to be the same, you know. And so what you got to do is that open communication, like I was saying before, which is a major gap in most relationships, is that communication will let you know what balance is, and it's not going to be all ice cream and sundaes. You know, it is going to be conversations, and people will sometimes step out of their quote unquote roles, and it's just communication. Like, hey, I play this position. This is your position.
But
you know, and you have to. You know, Donnell mentioned the word earlier. You know, the unrealistic expectation.
Bang.
What's that?
No, I said bang.
Oh. Yeah. So he mentioned unrealistic expectations, and so that's the thing. There is with your wife, you can't give her unrealistic expectations, and she can't do the same to you without the communication of it. You know, because what happens a lot of times in a marriage is the assumption factor. We assume that you know, since I'm working, you're the one that stays at home, takes care of this. We assume that since I'm the one staying at home doing this, then it's your job to do this. And that's where things get off balance, is the assumption factor. We perform things based on our assumptions that we know that they know what they should be doing because we've done this. And then we play the teeter-totter. Well, I done this, now it's your turn to do that.
Yeah.
Well, I done this, now it's your turn to do that. Again, it goes back to the communication aspect. Let's talk this out. And sometimes that changes on a daily basis. You know, that's why you really have to communicate. You have to keep those lines of communication open. You know, and don't try, what I've learned in marriage is don't try to bring a closure and saying, you know, and closing her off and saying, no, this is the way it's going to be, blah, blah, blah. And you can't bring a definition to what she's saying without her explaining what she's saying. Again, it brings a balance once you guys communicate. Now, the biggest part of that communication is having the ability.
Oh, where'd it go?
What?
But he's off the line.
I don't know. He must have dropped it real quick.
That was good stuff too.
But yeah, I mean, there's some truth to what he's saying. I mean, the you know, with balance, you know, literally. At one moment, you got over here, and the next minute, you got balance in a whole different area.
Yeah, I think that one thing that I've been learning, you know what I mean? Because, you know, as we're working together, I'm kind of learning this thing, is that what each person has to do is what they have to do, right? Like that's
you guys there, I kind of lost you.
Oh yeah, we're right back here, man.
Okay. I was on a roll, man.
Yeah, man, you was killing it, man. But when you love somebody, right? And you see something's a lot for somebody, when you see something's a lot, so it really took me having to switch roles, you know, and take over for, you know, a few days of just me, you know what I mean? And it was like, wow, like this is really a whole lot. Picking them up, you know, getting them, you know, taking to school, afterwards cooking all the food. Like daddy took over for a little while. And it helped me to respect the role more, you know what I mean? In the sense,
yeah.
Hey, now I need to make sure that I'm helping out in this fashion. I'm not saying that I've turned into Mr. Mom, but I'm saying that I've become more conscious as a result of having to go through the experience, even just for a short amount of time. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think that part of balance, the biggest part of balance is learning to have, and I don't know if you said this before, but it's learning to have a mutual respect, right?
Yeah, that's
not
good.
Like yours is easier, you know, because she can easily believe. They can easily believe that ours is easier because you're away from the house all day. You don't have to deal with this right here. You just have to bring the money home, basically. You know what I mean?
But that's true. That is so true.
It can work the other way, but if both parties respect the place that God has them right now, right? And And like what Bucky said, the communication is key, but the biggest problem that we find with communication is offense. I believe sometimes it's the fact that somebody will try to communicate something, and somewhere in that communication, we may or may not catch an offense because of what they said, how they said it, or how we're already feeling, right? What do y'all feel is the best way to handle? And I know that goes into it goes a little bit into conflict resolution, but I feel as though that really falls in line with balance in a marriage.
Yeah, I agree.
What do y'all feel are some good methods towards actually, because we say open communication, right? But what does that look like when the communication starts to go south? How do we keep the communication open and balancing and stay away from what may be a possible rising conflict?
Well, if I could jump on that, I think, you know, for me, what I had to learn is because I'm like Donnell said, he's the talker in the family. I'm the talker in our family. That comes with just knowing that you can overwhelm them so much with trying to either over communicate and not even listening enough. You know, when it comes to situations like that, what I have learned is simply this, is that I ultimately am in control as to how this is going to pan out. If I allow myself to get upset and frustrated, then that's where it's going. But if I allow myself, now, you know, my wife can get frustrated, but if I just absorb it and take it for what it is, not saying that, you know, it gives her the quote unquote pants of the family, or it gives her the rule of the roost, whatever. No, it is the greatest form of control is self-control.
That's right.
When I can learn to control myself in the midst of a conflict, especially in regards to marriage, then we're winning.
Totally.
You know, then we're winning. But if I take the assumption of something was said and it wasn't said in the context it was said, and
even if it was said in the context it was said,
even so, if I control myself, then 9 times out of 10, the situation ends a lot quicker than if I had the last word or something else that I had to say to defend myself, to defend my position or whatever. You know, a lot of times I just learn to just look and nod.
You're right. You know what? My daddy told me, and I'm going to put him out here because he's one of the wisest men I learned. And what he's taught me is that I do not have to defend myself. It's probably best not to. In a situation where somebody's desperate to give understanding, no matter how much I would like for them to have an understanding, it's better to just gain and let them know that they've been understood, right?
Yeah. That's so true.
So deep.
It is. My dad spent so much time quiet, and now I'm playing back the highlights of my life, you know, and I'm like, wow, he had it. He got it. That's why he made it. He got it.
I mean, I don't even know where to jump in at. We're talking about something and I lost it, but you know, for me, if we're going to go into communication, you know, it, like I said, my wife is different than y'all's, than everybody y'all's wife. Obviously everybody has a different wife. Like me, yes, I do not like any issues ever. So
wow,
if me and my wife are in an argument, I will give her 30 minutes to an hour to apologize. And I get at that given time, if I don't have an apology within that hour, I immediately feel convicted.
Yeah.
And I apologize.
That's good.
Wait, you say you give her 30 minutes to an hour to apologize, and then if it doesn't come, you give the apology.
I give the apology.
That's good.
You know, go ahead.
You know, this is my biggest thing. So pretty much what happens when me and my wife have a you know, I would just say, for, you know, my advice would be, you know, I completely remove any lion traits that I have, and I immediately go to the lamb. And I
come on.
So anything that I have, so I don't know if you ever look at your wife like this, but anytime I look at my wife and I see something that I do not like, I automatically assume it's a reflection of myself.
Okay.
Okay.
And I go, man, I do not like that. And I'll address it with her. And then I'm silent. I'll let her come to me after I've addressed it. And if she says, I don't think that's me, or if she addresses it right then and there, that's fine. But then immediately after she says what she needs to do, we go into prayer. I don't like it to float. I hate things floating. Now, if she wants to go upset, angry, that's on her. But I want to, like I said, if, you know, that's why I said, I'll give her 30 minutes to an hour to apologize. If she doesn't apologize by then, I will apologize, because I don't want to read that to resonate me while I'm sleeping.
Yeah.
Well,
you know.
So I agree, man. You know, I'm the same way. Even if I'm in the wrong, or even if I'm right, I apologize. I can't, as much as I like conflict and I can handle conflict, one thing I don't like is conflict between me and my wife.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely, man. I'm the first to apologize. Again, even if I'm right, even if I'm wrong, I'm the first.
Man.
A little different than you, Donnie, is I try not to give her the opportunity to apologize, because I'm so competitive.
Wow.
I want to apologize before she does. And that's the competitive nature on me in our marriage. Like, I'll give it a little bit of time to steam over. But what the thing about me is, with me personally, the more I think about something, the worse it gets. And so in order for me to nip it in the bud, I have to go ahead and apologize to get it over with.
Go ahead, man.
I'm very much in a similar boat, except for, okay, so first of all, I am a talker. Now, in my marriage, like, it gets to the point to where I'm overwhelming, so I think that's funny, because it's the three of us on the phone. The three of us, our birthdays are in December. I just think that's kind of odd. But different from you two guys, man, sometimes, if it's an argument, I'm in it too.
Yeah,
it just takes the wrong word.
I'm in it.
It's too late. Okay, and then as I'm in it, and now it's her turn, and she's going somewhere, I'll catch that conviction, and I'll be like, "Dang, I took it too far." Right? But
yeah.
And then I'll just turn it around. So I'll go from yeah. Baby, you know what? I'm sorry. You know what?
Yeah.
She don't want to hear it then.
No,
she never really want to hear anything. It seems like
I'm not shy of those moments either.
Yeah, and that's how quick I will want to turn it around. Now, here's my issue sometimes with turning it around. I'm noticing now the fact that I turn it around because, number one, I don't want to deal with it, because it's all those unresolved emotions inside of me. They turn into, eventually, guys, emotions are going to spill out. They don't separate. They don't go away. They bottle up, suppress, they die carbonated, and they're going to spill out into little holes somewhere or another. And so those unresolved emotions, I don't want to deal with them. I don't like an unreconciled situation. I want everything to be fixed. But a lot of times in the apology, there's no true reconciliation. It's just, I'm sorry for the way that I've made you feel. But a reconciliation, in my eyes, is either understanding the other party or choosing to not be understood.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I think that that's where I'm starting to learn my balances, and the fact that sometimes it's better to just choose to not be understood than to fight to get them to understand. And that's when I'm really able to just let go.
Yeah.
That's when I'm really able to let go. So, man, I'm really, you know, I'm hearing y'all, and I'm trying to, I want to be like y'all, man.
So, in closing, all the balance and, you know, for me, this would be my closing point.
Originally went, and when I was originally talking about business and, you know, squeezing all the, my phone rang and it caught me off guard there.
All the juice out of the orange.
Yeah, you know, I've just tried. Wow. I tried to pretty much, I try to squeeze. I try to have a good balance of my day, all the way to the end. And you know, like I was saying, you know, I can't. I try to have a balance between sleep and work. And because I don't want somebody, because I have a, you know, I don't want to go to sleep because I feel like someone's outworking me, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I feel in my marriage. Like my wife is my number one motivator in essence, you know? So it's like, if I feel like she's outworking me, it bothers me internally.
Wow.
You know, like as I'm doing this right now, I can hear her downstairs doing the dishes and she cooked tonight. So it's really eating me up, you know? So it's, and then I know that she has things that she's trying to do on top of that, you know? So it's, I guess for me, it's this, it's that, understanding the value of not only my spouse, but the value of love, and you know how valuable that was to God, and then the value of what my marriage is. And you know, it's obviously I'm not saying I'm perfect by any means, because I have a lot of those moments where I feel like I push the bar a little too far, and I have to backpedal. But for me, it's really my biggest balance in life is balancing my hustle for financial freedom and my balance for love with my wife and my relationships with others. And, and if everything else is literally falls to the wayside, like I don't care about, you know, the material things or anything like that. It's literally, it's like I want to push myself to the barrier, but I also want to push my marriage, you know, to the barrier as well, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, how do I find the balance? And because it's like I'm willing to sacrifice everything for financial freedom, but when I get into the household, I don't feel that same fire to push the barrier, you know, in helping with the dishes or helping with the laundry. You know, it's like, man, how can I have a stronger balance for that? It's like, because then I get in almost like a spiritual warfare with my mind, where it's like, okay, am I loving money and my financial success more than I'm loving my wife and the helping her and her efforts and everything, you know? So it's, you know, that's kind of, you know, my point is like really trying to find that balance in my life and not necessarily in one particular aspect, because I feel like literally work takes up half of my life, and then my marriage and, you know, and my children and my relationships with people, it defines my other half of my life. So, you know, it's just, I feel like I want to make sure that when I'm saying the word balance, that I'm literally dividing them 50-50. And I don't like the scale. Like, I don't like the scale of that. You know, I really wish the relational balance was I could give my wife 80% and I could give my financial freedom and my work ethic and everything else 20%. And I keep feeling, this is just me personally, I keep feeling if I push the balance of the financial freedom and my work ethic and everything else closer to the 70, I'll get to where my marriage is 80-20. Does that make sense? It's like if I push the barrier over here so far, it'll eventually get me over here.
It'll balance itself out.
So
yeah, but here's the thing is how much, like, that's the long term is to balance itself out, but the short term is at what expense of your family relationship are you willing to give
Exactly,
and
Bucky.
Sacrifice. And so, you know, the way I look at it is this is, which one could you live without? You know, and that would be the financial, because I'm in that same balance beam, I guess, for lack of better words. I'm in that same balance beam, you know, striving for financial freedom, working a job, working a ministry, doing some side hustles here and there. And then, you know, how much of my family am I willing to sacrifice? I had a friend tell me one time, in regards to ministry, and this may help a little bit, in regards to ministry, because I was striving so hard to do ministry. He stopped me at church one time and he said, I think the Lord wants me to tell you this. And he said, I don't know what it means for you. He says, but he said, the Lord would say, do not build your ministry at the expense of your family. And so that was a balance check for me, because I was hustling so hard for ministry. And yeah, my wife's very supportive. But at the same time, you know, the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And I look back at that as like, you and your wife are one. She's part of your soul. What does it profit to gain all that yet lose her? You know, and that's another thing with the Lord. I told God, I said, you know, I didn't get in this marriage for me to travel the entire world preaching the gospel and leave my wife.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what it's about. Yeah. I don't believe that. I believe we're going to minister together. And
amen.
You know, so that's going to be different for every marriage. I know people that will travel and spend 30 days offshore working a oil job and come home, spend 20 days, and then they got to go back for another 30, and their job has more of that, but it works for their marriage. Every marriage is going to be different, you know. And final thoughts, if I could give some final thoughts, I would say, you know, again, it goes with the communication. It goes with being real with yourself, knowing your limitations and your abilities, and knowing actually not what everybody else expects from you, but what do those demands of your own life expect from you, and being able to put a reserve on them. You know, being able to control those expectations more than those expectations control you. And that creates a balance, is when you're able to control your own expectations instead of allowing your expectations control you to go in different directions. That right there brings solid balance to you.
And I think that's very beautifully said, because of where Donnell, where you say you were having trouble sleeping because hustling you, I was having trouble sleeping because of my, like, just anxiety for my life. You know, sometime in 2018, it felt like I just woke up and all of a sudden it was like, wow, look at everything that I have around me, and I've had my focus in the wrong place. So I'm not, this is not the full focus, but this is just like as an example. I spent some time trying to focus on what my legacy would be, right? I feel this, I have a lot, like there's so much in my mind. And so I was focused on making this artistic piece that I would put out there and pour myself into these lyrics, to where people would be able to study them. And I focused so much on trying to put something out that would be able to edify the body and be able to, you know, like be seen as a work of art. But in the meantime of my focusing on this and not really necessarily focusing on my marriage, and like, you know, my children are growing up, it's like, whoa, bro, like my children are my legacy, and that's turned everything around. My focus is to make sure that they have a childhood where they remember the relationship that they have with their father, right? Like they they have great memories of their father leading them in prayer, talking to them about what they've read in the word, helping them to gain understanding in the word, that they have a father who's going to be able to talk to their teachers if there's a problem with their grades, you know, who show up to their football games or show up to them, you know, And so in doing so, the only way that was able to happen for me, because I was waking up like every morning, I felt about for months, 2 o'clock in the morning, couldn't go back to sleep because of the weight of all of the things that I wanted to do and just felt like I wasn't able to do at the time. It felt as though, you know, kind of like my hands were tied because it's all this progress that I'm capable of and all this progress that I want to make. But for whatever reason, the Lord has me at a place. And recently he just told me, he says, if you are not content with the manna, you'll never see the promised land. And there's a particular... There's a particular fruit that we gain when we actually learn how to submit. And that fruit that I'm learning, it's peace, man. And for me, peace is my balance, man. It's like God can come down and fix every situation that comes around us. But if we have peace inside, no matter what situation we go to, we can bring peace to that situation, you know? And so I guess that some of my closing thoughts on this, man, are for me to find real balance in life, my balance is based around peace, right? And so now that I'm married, man, I see marriage, for me, it's like basketball. When I was young, I loved it. I just grabbed the ball and I played, right? But eventually, right, in order for me to get good, I had to start practicing. I had to come out, I had to practice. Practice with my right hand, practice with my left hand. I got to run, which is completely different than playing basketball, because basketball, I'm having fun, and running is building stamina. But in order for me to truly enjoy what I really love, it's gonna take some serious hard work in order to be good at it, in order for it to become natural. And so now I'm putting more, and it seems like it's an imbalance, but really it's causing me to balance. And that's where I feel you, Darnell, on what you were talking about, how things balance out. I'm putting more focus on what I can do and should do in order to help my wife, starting with prayer, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then with things that I can do for her around the house. And then also, my biggest concern is my own personal character, because you only leave this life with two things. You leave this life with your character, and you leave your life with your relationships. So that's really the only wealth worth investing in while we're here is our relationships and our character. And so as I am allowing the Lord to invest in both of those in me, I'm finding my life catching more and more balance. And you know, I just praise God for it, man.
Amen. Praise God, man. Hey, man, well, I appreciate you all, man, for your time, pulling you all away from your marriage. We're going to have some balance tonight.
I know that's right.
So, hey, Buck Hogle, Hogle Ministries. We got Emmanuel from True Sin. You know, check them out. You know, check out their websites. Check out their Facebook, all their social medias.
Appreciate that.
Welcome to the platform where we give people a voice for their purpose. So, man, we'll have to get y'all back on here, man.
Sounds good, bro.
Anytime.
Talk to you soon.
All right, y'all. All right. Yes, sir. Bye-bye.